Blog Talk Radio.
I was a hard drinking sinner with blood on my hands. I was a hard drinking sinner, a gun in my hands, drinking 40 pounds for dinner till I met a big man. And the man said, how do you do?
Technicolor for all you crazy freaks out there at Angie's luxurious,
well-made homey.
Yes, hospital room here. We're going to be here for a while, so this will be our satellite location to sound all fancy pants for the next month or so. We'll be here.
But it's nice because at least we get to do it together.
Yeah, this first we had a show last week, but we did Supernatural this last week. This is actually the first time we'll actually have a guest on, and we'll actually be doing a show together. So, face to face, anyways.
It'll be nice.
Yeah.
Hopefully, there'll be very few to none, no interruptions.
Yeah, the nurses coming in and checking on her, taking her blood.
Yeah, I forgot to tell the nurses that we were doing this, so it could be.
We could have a live
extra special guest.
Exactly. We could have a live, like, insulin check or something on air. So.
No, you might be getting my insulin. I think they might come in at 10 o'clock and give me my insulin.
There we go.
On air.
There we go. Yeah, that insulin. It was the Not insulin check. What am I talking about?
Blood sugar check.
Sorry. But yeah, we're pretty excited. We have a really cool guest on the show tonight. We've got Stephanie Burke.
Really excited to talk to her.
Yeah. She was on Kindred Spirits, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And she's actually going to be in town at the end of the month.
Really sorry I'm going to miss that.
Yeah, there's a big event at Henricus Park coming up April 27th and 28th. Twisted Paranormal is putting on an event out there. Going to have Stephanie Burke and Scott Porter. They'll be at the event. Tickets are $75 per person.
I think they're almost sold out, so you need to get your
quick. $75 a person, you can't beat that.
Not at all.
And so you pay $75, you're like, oh, I get to investigate with them. That's great. No. That's not all you get.
No.
You get a 2-hour Q&A with them. You can ask them whatever you want.
Whatever
ask them what
you
they
want.
Have. For, you can ask them what they have for breakfast this morning. I don't care. I mean, whatever you want to ask them, it's fair game.
Yeah, but they don't have to answer.
They don't have to answer. Yeah. I mean, maybe not whatever you want to ask them. Keep it clean.
Ask whatever you want.
Keep it clean, folks, okay? Come on. This is a family event. So it's 8 to 6 p.m. It's Q&A. So you get to talk to, ask, you know, get to know Scott and Stephanie, which is kind of what we're doing right now. But whatever question we don't ask, you can ask.
If we leave anything out, feel free to fill it in.
Because I know every single person who's going to that event will listen to this podcast.
Of course.
They have to.
God, yeah.
So whatever we don't get to ask Stephanie and Scott, because we're having Scott on the podcast the week before, Monday before the event.
That'll be nice.
Yes. So we start off the month with Stephanie, end it with Scott. See what we're doing? Like a bookend.
Like.
Right there. My hands are going like together like a bookend, so you can't see that because we're on radio right now. But so yeah, whatever you we don't get to ask Stephanie or Scott, you know, we don't get to ask them. You can ask them at the Q&A.
But first, you have to get your ticket.
Yes, $75. $75 to investigate with Stephanie Burke from Kindred Spirits and Scott freaking Porter from TWC. And I'm not talking the Weather Channel. All right. Okay. TWC. That's right. Tennessee Wraith Chasers. They chase some wraiths all over the place. Tell you what, man. It is insane. And haunted towns. And ghost asylums.
All the places.
I mean, shit. It is. No. I said shit. That's two syllables right there. Oh, yeah. And then we have a public investigation until 8 a.m. That's no. Nope, sorry. 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. So let me get this straight. Let me understand what I'm seeing. I don't even understand it.
Sounds too good to be true.
$75. You take hand with Scott and Stephanie and myself and Angie and Spirit.
And Spirit, yeah.
And Dennis and Lyle and Tana and Liz. Oh, my God. Liz just keeps going. Brandon Johnson is going to be there? I know, right? For $75, and you get to do a Q&A and a public investigation from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. in the morning. And let me tell you what, folks, Henricus Park is one of the most haunted locations I've ever been to.
It's very active.
It's so very active. We had an event out there about 3 weeks ago, I think. And oh, my God, we had so much activity out there. It's the second established English colony, I believe, English settlement in Virginia after Jamestown. So 400 years of history, there are going to be some hauntings.
A couple.
Just a few here or there, you know. By dozens, there is some squealing going on outside. We are in a hospital, so it's all part of the show, folks. It's what we do here in the Freaking Awesome Paranormal Show. But yeah, I think we've got Stephanie on the line here, so I'm going to go ahead and put her on. What do you think?
Yeah.
All right, so let's go ahead and put her on the show tonight. Hello, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Hey, how are you?
We're good. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for asking me.
Looking forward to seeing you at the end of the month.
Well, Ryan is. I won't get to make it.
I'll FaceTime
you. Oh, no.
You'll FaceTime me. Good.
Yes, well,
just kind of
you
hold
have
up
to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's kind of holed up in a hospital room right now, but trust me, if she could make it, she would be there.
So be there.
Oh, no. I hope you're okay.
Oh, yeah. Just, we've got to make sure this little baby cooks as long as possible.
Yes, I totally understand that. I am all in favor of that. So I hope you are healthy and
yeah.
Baby is healthy. I know how difficult that is.
Yeah, it's not fun.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
I've been there.
4 months.
Hey, I hope it's 4 months. That's my goal, be here 4 months.
Yes. It's a good goal.
Yeah, right.
Hey, like you said, as long as the baby's healthy.
That's all that matters, yep.
So let's get started. I mean, I don't really know you that well, and I'd like to ask you a few questions, you know.
Absolutely.
How did you get started in the paranormal?
That's always a funny question and a funny answer. I've had a fascination with paranormal my entire life. I tell everybody that I don't know what it's like to be normal. I was born with my gift, and it was passed down through generations in my family. So I grew up in a house that was built in 1792, and it was part of the Underground Railroad. So seeing spirits and experiencing them and being able to communicate with them was normal for me. So I always had a fascination with the other side and anything strange or unusual. And I remember, reading like spooky books and ghost story books and weird almanacs and all anything that I could get my hands on, any chance I could, and watching shows on TV that reflected weird things, whether it was true crime or ghost stories or different things like that. And it wasn't until I blame it a lot on Tim Weisberg, who is my co-host for Spooky South Coast. I met him after reading his book on local ghost stories, and he was pretty tied into the local paranormal community at the time. We're going back about 10 years now. And I didn't realize that there were people that were doing what ghost hunters did on TV. Because I was still in high school at the time that Ghost Hunters had come out, and I kind of just got wrapped up with the spooky crew, and I decided to kind of dip my toes in the waters of paranormal investigating, all while trying to hide the fact that I could talk to dead people. So,
yes, that's a little awesome.
It's so difficult. I get caught a lot doing medium things when I shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
And they eventually figured me out. It didn't take very long. So it was really funny, but I absolutely loved everything to do with it because I thought, wow, there's other people out there that are just like me that, you know, are trying to communicate with them. And I wasn't the weirdo anymore. I wasn't the odd one out. So it was really cool to be able to experience that kind of on a media platform, or, you know, have it be kind of like a social norm rather than hiding it and hiding the fact that you might believe in ghosts, because there was a time where everybody would just, you know, shut it down completely. So, probably about 10 years ago, I decided to kind of move into the more public side of paranormal.
Oh, we're all weirdos around here, so
right?
you're in good company.
I love it.
For sure.
Weird is going to be
my favorite.
Yeah. It really is these days.
I hope
so. What are you? What was the first kind of thing you got involved in, as far as, like, was it just going on, like, public investigations, or...
I think it was a mixture between private investigating and public investigating. So I had already been working on private residences for a while. People would ask me to come in and talk to them, or, you know, kind of do investigating / you know, reading the house or different places like that. And I've been working on that for a little while. And when I met Tim and the guys from the Spooky Crew, they were doing public investigations at different places, and they would ask me if I wanted to kind of come along and help. And I said, yeah, sure, why not? Just to see what it was like. And so I'd say I'd probably started off with the more on the private side, even doing things like table tipping and different spiritual things. and then moving into public investigating, it was a quick transition. It was probably all within like the same like year to 2 year time span. And it kind of just blew up from there, and it turned into a great mixture of both, and then eventually just kind of faded out to public investigating instead.
Now, growing up, did you have a good support system with what you could do, or did you try to hide it most of the time?
So, growing up, my mom had the gift, and she wanted nothing to do with it, and it didn't really make things very easy because I went to Catholic school at the same time. Going to Catholic school and being able to do what I do didn't really mix. My mom actually used to drop me off at school at preschool every single day, and she would say, "Okay, honey, have a great day. Don't tell the other kids what color they are. Don't tell anybody who's around them. I will pick you up at 2:30. I love you. Don't get kicked out. Bye."
Interesting advice.
It was great advice. Yeah. So I was three, four. I think I was four. And I mean, I have a 3-year-old now. So just, you know, thinking about saying something like that to her is just so funny to me because I don't even know how I don't think I truly comprehended what my mother was saying because I didn't realize that nobody else did what I did. So she always supported me. She always nurtured it. She never, you know, shut it down or anything like that. I think she tried to protect me a lot. And, you know, she would tell me, like, "Oh, no, honey, it's okay. Don't worry. There's no ghosts in the house. Ghosts aren't real." But I don't think she realized the extent of what I was experiencing. And, you know, had she realized it, I think she probably would have taken a different approach. My grandmother, her mom, is where we got our gift from. And she passed when I was 7, so that was really difficult for me. She used her gift a little more than my mom did, and she was kind of like half and half. She would if she had to, but she didn't all the time. Her mother actually did all the time. So as the generations dropped, it was kind of fading out. Like, nobody really wanted anything to do with it, but I think it was just a really tough time in society to kind of come out and say, "Hey, yeah, this is what I do." So I was always told to keep it to myself because my mom didn't want me to be judged or, you know, have anything bad happen or anything like that, because people can be really harsh, and especially about things that they don't understand. And it wasn't until I was about 15 where I finally sat her down and I said, "Okay, listen, I see this guy around the house. I see that person. I see this person. They talk to me. These are their stories. I experience this. I experience that." It's getting to the point where I can't really hide it from people anymore. Even growing up, I think I was in middle school. And it was a time where, you know, you'd write notes back and forth to your friends. And my nickname became Fortune Cookie because I would give advice and it would always come true. And it got to the point where I was telling my friends things that I couldn't possibly understand, or I was telling them things that, you know, they were thinking without them saying it out loud, or I was saying things at the same time as them, and it just got really awkward. So I'd sat my mom down. I said, "Okay, listen, you got to tell me the truth or you got to take me somewhere because I'm totally crazy and I have no other explanation for it." And she laughed and she just told me the entire family history and she verified everything that I was experiencing. And we had a really great conversation about it, but that kind of left me at a point of like, where do I turn from here? What do I do with this? And I still continue to run from it for, what did you say?
I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way you feel, like not knowing where to turn.
It's difficult. So I think I dabbled in trying to do as much as possible between then and like the end of high school, and I ended up just starting to do professional readings probably by like 17, 18. Mm-hmm. So it was a really hard transition point for me, but I feel like even nowadays, you know, people still, even though it's out there and it's out in the open, and you know, there's plenty of TV shows on it and there's plenty of information out there, and it's just, especially with the world of social media, it's really accepted, but I feel like people still don't really truly understand where to turn because all we have is social media or all we have is television. So people just try to mimic what they see, and that's not always the right answer or the easiest answer.
Well, that's true. It's a good thing that people are more open-minded than they have been in the past. But you really got to be still got to be careful about who you talk to, and you've got to build up a trust with the person as well.
Right.
Now, I know that, and I saw that too, that you do Reiki and you teach that as well. Like, what kind of drew you to that? And do you feel like that's kind of a special ability or anyone can learn how to do it?
I absolutely love Reiki, and I think I love teaching it even more than I love it, just because opening people's minds to the idea of being able to perform it is awesome. So for those that don't know, Reiki is a very old Japanese way of hands-on healing. So it's been around for thousands and thousands of years, and it's just one of many different healing modalities that are available, but it's pretty much the original way. And I think I just accepted it for what it was when I first learned about it. My mom was certified in Reiki probably, going back about 25 years now. And she was a nurse for a very long time, and she actually specialized in taking care of stage 4 cancer patients up until their time of passing. So she fought to get Reiki certified and be able to perform it while she was on the job, because it really helps with pain management, which is their discovery now. And it was helping them in their transition into death as well. So she fought to do that. And I just always accepted it as something that my mom did. And, any kid at some point in their life is like, oh, cool, my parents do that. I have no interest whatsoever. But, I saw her doing it all the time, and I saw her doing it to, we had a cat that had cancer, and he had 2 months to live, and he lived another 10 years. And she did Reiki to him every single day. So yeah, it was bad enough where they told us, like, amputate his leg or he's going to die. And when we asked his chances to live, they said 2 months. And we figured we're not going to remove his leg. Just let him live out his life, happy with all four legs. And he lived another 10 years. My mom did Reiki to him every single day. So, I've heard so many, good things that have come out of Reiki. And I just decided I felt like, I got first certified in level 1 Reiki probably about 11 years ago. And, I felt like at that point in time, it was a time for me to learn. I felt like there was something to come out of it. So I always tell people I didn't really have this big draw, this big interest, but I just felt like it was a gut feeling that I needed to do this. And once I sat down and I got Reiki certified, that kind of started the transition into the path that I'm on now. And I've been teaching it pretty regularly for the past, I think, 3 to 4 years now. And I tell people all the time, from level 1 to level 2 to master teacher level to teaching it, I've learned so much on every single level. And even every single time I sit down to teach it, just watching the aha moments of my students and being able to see how it puts them on their life path and the changes from when they walk through my door until when they leave, and then following their journeys, is just amazing to me. So I absolutely love it. It really does help open up your intuition, and it having a Reiki attunement really puts you on your soul's path of what you're supposed to be doing. And it kind of just, even if you're right there and you're so close, it really puts you on the right path. If you're far away, it brings you to that right path as well. So I absolutely love it. And I could probably talk about that for the next 3 hours.
Yeah. I mean, Reiki absolutely amazes me. I had a Reiki session done on myself, about a year ago, and you're right. It's an amazing experience. Could you explain exactly what Reiki is to our listeners who don't really understand it?
Yes. So I tell everybody all the time, that's been traced back to ancient Tibet, and the Japanese actually gave life to it again, and then it came to the United States by way of Hawaii, which is also very spiritual and has an amazing culture. So Reiki, and the idea of Reiki, is to channel life force energy, and with your alignment in your chakra system. For those that don't know what chakras are, it's an easy Google to see the 7 points that you work with your energy body. But you have different spinning wheels or energy vortexes ranging from the bottom of your spine to the top of your head. and it aligns your chakras in a permanent way in order to receive this universal life force energy. So I always tell people, when I give you an attunement, it's almost like you kind of grew an electrical cord that came out of you, and you're able to plug into the universal life force energy. So everybody has natural healing abilities. You know, when you're a kid and you fall and you scrape your knee, your first instinct is to hurry up and put your hand right on your knee. And it takes the pain away, strangely. And there's never an explanation for that. Or, you know, if you do have children, when they're crying, the minute that you put your hands on them, no matter how badly they got hurt, it's calming to them and it stops the crying, which is amazing. So it's a basic form of healing, and it's a basic form of Reiki. But if you were to put your hands on someone right now and try to heal them without having the Reiki attunement, you run out of energy and you get really tired and really drained. So the Reiki allows you to be able to be the conduit of the universal life force energy and have that flow through you and out of your hands to somebody else. So that way you never run out of energy and you never get drained. But at the same time that you're doing that and the universal life force energy is flowing through you, you're receiving the healing while you're giving the healing. So you're basically just a conduit for the energy. You're not doing the healing yourself. You're just allowing the healing to come through you and to go to the other person. So I always tell people that I'm giving you the energy that you need in order to heal yourself.
Yeah, I know when they did the Reiki on me, they put these stones on me and put stones all around me. Is there a specific like use for those stones, or can you explain how they work?
So
I don't know
everybody
if
does.
Use. I think I can't really.
I was gonna say everybody does Reiki differently. So it depends on what kind of Reiki they were doing. I am certified as a Reiki master teacher in Yusui Reiki. Everybody that uses crystals during a Reiki session, nobody teaches you an exact way of like, this is what you're supposed to do with certain crystals during a healing. Certain people use crystals in order to line them up with your chakras in order to help heal your chakras. So if they're using, you know, amethyst, that, depending on what they learned, that could be for your either third eye chakra or your crown chakra. So not everybody uses them. I only use them when I feel like I need to. I don't use them for every single session. So it really truly depends on the person that's giving you the Reiki session. You can absolutely 100% give Reiki without using crystals at all, because that's not part of what Reiki is. That's not how Reiki originated. Reiki is hands-on healing, where your hands are on another person and putting energy into them. So some people like to add the flair of crystals, but they're not totally necessary.
Okay. Well, I know that.
Learn
just for show.
Show.
Well, there we go. Hey, we just made a rhyme, too. Right, we're writing poetry over here. Hey, I just want to give you a shout-out from Tana Lotz, Niall Lotz for Twisted Paranormal. They're listening in. They say hello, and they're excited about seeing you on the 27th at Henricus.
Hey, Tana and Lyle. I am so excited to be going to Henricus. I actually got to meet them both this past weekend when I was at the Dunlora Inn with Sheena and Tony Wong and their daughter Lacey, and I was so excited that they made the drive up there to see me, and I finally get to meet them because I had heard so many good things about them for so long, and you know, being able to do business with them was awesome, but I love to meet people and I love to get to know them. So they were so sweet and so nice, and I'm so excited to be working with them at the end of this month, and I'm really excited to get to that location. I keep hearing amazing things. I've never been, and I love history. I'm the biggest history nerd you'll ever meet, so I cannot wait for that.
Yeah, they're great. And Henricus is a great location. You're not going to be disappointed, I don't think.
Yeah.
What are some, what's your favorite location that you've been on so far since you're a big history nerd?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I mean, growing up in New England, everything is super old and super haunted. So it's tough to pick, you know, specific places, but I've actually made it a goal to go through, I mean, every single place I've gone this past year, and as I'm going forward, every single place I'm at, I want to find a historic place. So I think one of the coolest places that I've been able to visit was the Alamo in San Antonio. just because it was so historic, and the feeling that I got when I went was just amazing. I was actually there with Scott Porter, and we started to walk down the Riverwalk. If anybody's been to Texas, they know what I'm talking about. And we stepped out into the street right in front of the Alamo. And I joke all the time because I'm the one that hears things, feels things, and talks to the dead. And Scott is more of the history guy and the technical side of things. And he actually stopped dead in his tracks when I walked right into the back of him. And he turned around and grabbed my arm. And he said, "Did you feel that?" I was like, "Yes, I can feel that." But I don't make a big deal about it because I feel it all the time. And, you know, doing that to him, he would just be like, "Yeah, okay, you know, you're feeling stuff, cool." Mm-hmm. So we actually went into the Alamo and we saw the little miniature model of what it actually looked like back during that time. And we realized that when we stepped into the street, we were actually stepping over the wall of the fortress and into where a lot of people had passed. So it was actually a really cool validation for both of us that we are experiencing this change in energy when we actually entered what was inside the original wall of the Alamo. So just being able to validate, you know, feelings of energy and spirits along with history is probably one of my favorite things in the world. But being able to experience it with somebody else that feels it too is awesome.
Yeah.
That's a great validation.
Always good to get validated.
Yeah, especially when you go through the same thing at the same time.
Yeah, and that person doesn't necessarily have abilities, just kind of a little bit of interest or a lot of interest.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a good sport. He puts up with my wave.
Do what? I'm sorry.
Oh, I said he's a good sport. He puts up with my weird wave.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a good guy. We hung out with him at the Exchange Hotel last summer during the Paracon out there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, definitely. So how'd you get involved with Kindred Spirits?
So that's a funny story, too. I have known Amy for a little while now, and I got to do a couple events with her, and we became friendly, and when they signed their deal for Kindred Spirits, I had no idea. And she approached me, and, oh gosh, it's been a couple of years now, and just said, "Hey, would you mind helping me, you know, with a case, you know, Adam and I?" And I said, "No, absolutely, I can do that. You know, where is it?" And she said it was in Connecticut, so it was 3.5 hours from my house. And, you know, I agreed, and we had a great conversation. And at the very end of the conversation, she said, "Okay, awesome. My producer will be calling you. By the way, this is for the TV show." But I had no idea there was a new TV show. So I had no clue what was going on. And I immediately called Tim Weisberg. And I said, "Oh, no, what did I just agree to? Should I do this? Should I not?" Because I always said I would never do TV. Because at the time that everything was blowing up and all these different TV shows were taking place, everybody was fighting to be on them because they wanted a spot on a TV show. But they all turned out to be those types of shows that, you know, once you see them and see back, the information's not correct, or you were portrayed in a bad light, or, you know, all these things were happening. And I just said, I will never do paranormal TV because that's how it was turning out. So I really truly trusted Amy and Adam. And after hearing the concept for their show and, you know, the name of it, of course, Kindred Spirits, and knowing how they investigate and how they work and just what stand-up people they are, I said, you know, okay, I think I can do this. I think I want to do something like this because their main goal is to actually truly help families. It's not just for TV. I've done 3 episodes with them now, and each and every single family that I've come in contact with is just so emotional and so thankful for everything that Amy and Adam do, and they work their butts off too. So I agreed to do this, and I drove down, and I met them, and it was really funny. I had no idea where I was going. I was told to meet at a random Walmart off the highway. When I arrived at Walmart, I got a text message that said, "Drive to the garden center, and you'll meet a black BMW, and you'll follow that X miles up the road." And I did that, where I met another car, and I jumped out, and the showrunner was actually there to meet me and put a microphone on me. And then at that point, one of the crew members jumped in my car and drove my car to the location after driving me in circles for a little while. So as soon as I got out of the car, they said, ready, go. So
I'm surprised
they
put
really
a
funny
on the back of your head.
I was going to say.
Did you get the back of a van.
Right.
Did you get the feeling you were getting abducted?
No,
like, what did I
honest to God, they did everything but put a burlap sack on my head. I actually did not find out until it aired on Destination America, where they did like the bonus edition and they had the little pop-up facts at the bottom of the screen that Amy and Adam went throughout the entire house and removed all personal artifacts and all pictures of the family before I even walked in. So this was actually the first time that Amy and Adam kind of really got to see what I could do. It was actually my first time meeting Adam altogether. So it was a really strange situation. And the three of us were sitting in a car by lantern light toward the end of the night. And Amy's like, thank God you trust me, huh? And we started laughing because yeah, driving all that way and going through what I went through, it was really funny. But I had a great experience with them. And just one of my favorite things about doing what I do is being able to walk into a location completely blind with no information whatsoever, but being able to have that person that's gone through that extensive research and every single document and knows the history and knows what they're talking about. So when I'm getting information, they write it down just like you see Amy do in the episodes. She writes everything down and she matches it up and she knows exactly what she's talking about. She's so well-versed in the case. So she can say, okay, this absolutely has to do with what you're talking about. This matches up perfectly. And I get the validation, but when I get that validation, you know, I can keep going, you know, for the rest of the night if I need to, because I'm connecting to that specific mm-hmm. energy. So I love working with her for that reason, because she just puts herself out there, hours and hours of research. That's another reason why I love working with Porter as well, because he does the exact same thing. He has all the knowledge ahead of time, so that way it makes my job a lot easier. I've worked with people in the past where I said, okay, I'm getting, you know, this and that, does this make sense? Because I want to make sure that I'm on the right path. If it doesn't make any sense, I need to switch gears. Especially where I tell everybody all the time, it's like an old clock radio where you have to, you know, turn the dial to get the exact radio station that you're trying to get, and sometimes it comes in fuzzy. If I'm dealing with people that have yeah. passed on at a gallery reading, it's a totally different channel than trying to read a haunted old house, because they're two totally different levels of energy. So I love working with someone that can be like, yep, you're spot on, keep going, because then I know that I've connected to the correct energy and I can keep flowing with that energy. So it's really cool. It's a really awesome experience. I'm very lucky to have worked with Amy and Adam on both seasons of Kindred Spirits. And they are great, great people to work with. Everything is what you see is what you get. They are the best people.
Do they kind of help change your view of the whole, you know, the negative view you had of the TV image and what they were doing, or what, you know, TV was kind of doing to the modern psychic and sensitive?
I think they changed that for a lot of people, because the way that they treat myself and Chip Coffee is with respect. And not just a, hey, let's see what you can do and make fun of you afterwards, because that did happen on a lot of shows that
yeah.
I've seen.
Yeah.
But they treat both of us so well. You know, I mean, I have a personal friendship with them as well, now that I've worked with them as much as I have. But they're great to work with, especially being, you know, who I am. But just in general as well, I know other people that have worked with them and really love them too. So they've definitely changed my view on doing TV. I would do TV with them all the time, if I could, because I know them and I trust them, and they have a great production crew as well, who truly respect what I do and, you know, love to have me there, which is great. As far as other TV shows go, I probably still put them through the ringer, just like I did with their first showrunner. You know, okay, tell me what your intentions are, because it's really scary to feel like you've built this up your entire life, and then somebody's going to squash it in one television show. And that was actually the first thing that their first showrunner said to me is, he said, listen, I know that you've worked really hard. I know that you have your reputation and everything. I'm not going to kill that in a 45-minute episode. And that made me feel really comfortable, because he understood where I was coming from. Because you just never know. A lot of the times networks have an agenda, and a lot of networks out there really love to hear, like, okay, this was so evil and there was a demon here. That's not how I operate. If it's there, I'll tell you. But, you know, it doesn't get the same viewers as the happy-go-lucky story. And I wanted to make sure that I was really, you know, working with the best of the best. And Amy and Adam are amazing to work with. As far as any other TV shows go, I'd probably still have to, you know, go through my checklist when working with anybody new, because I'm just never sure. I know my friend Tim writes for Haunted Town, and he wrote for Ghost Asylum as well, and he had approached me, and the production crew had approached me to do a couple episodes on season one of Haunted Towns, and I put them through the same checklist of, hey, this is what I do. Let's talk about it ahead of time. It just didn't end up working out with scheduling. So I'm tough, but I want to make sure that if I'm doing something, it's not about the fame or the fortune. It's about, who am I helping with this? And is this for the greater good of anybody, or is it just for television? If the answer is it just for television, it's not something that interests me. I want to be able to do something to show people the right way or to help someone. I don't want to do it just because it's TV.
Yeah, first and foremost, you have to protect yourself.
You can't be too careful.
Right.
And plus, I want to see Kids' Curse, is always one of our favorite shows on television.
My daughter, Kimmy, loves it too.
Well, there you go.
Right.
Now, when you investigate, do you prefer going to public or private locations?
That's tough. I think public, just because there's more of a story there most of the time, and there are more stories that have come from eyewitnesses, or there's more documented history that come from public places. Or I just feel like there's more of a cool story going on. I feel like, I mean, I've gotten to go into some really cool places, and I have some really, you know, cool stories to be able to, you know, tell after the fact because of it. Private residences, I feel it's a toss up. You know, you have to do a lot of background work, a lot of background checks, a lot of, you know, kind of investigating before the investigation when it comes to that stuff. And it can be really dangerous. If you guys are paranormal investigators yourself, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you just never know what you're walking into.
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of, yeah. So I kind of, once I started doing a lot publicly, I kind of, you know, dialed it back a little bit with the private stuff because it just wasn't comfortable anymore. People, I worked with different private paranormal investigation groups. And one of my friends who has his own group, who is a phenomenal investigator, phenomenal historian, researcher, and I love working with him. He was running into a problem where people were finding out word of mouth that I was the medium that he worked with. So they were calling him left and right just to get me in their house to do a free reading. It kind of took away from the work that he was trying to accomplish as well. So I kind of dialed back a little bit on it when it got a little wild. And I walked into some really strange places that really made me feel like, okay, I need to stop doing this. Because it's a literal danger, for me, from the living, not just the dead. I always say I'm always terrified of the living, not the dead. But I've walked into places, gosh, that even if my friend investigated and did background checks and multiple phone calls and everything that you're supposed to do. And I still walked in there, and there were so many prescription pills on the floor that they were being crushed underneath my shoes.
Oh, wow.
And
that's
yeah.
Crazy.
So that was like an in out, like no investigation happened. And you know, people sound normal on the phone. So then it got to the point where, you know, my friends were walking in and doing a pre-investigation before even bothering to call me. But as soon as they call me in, it's like everything changes, and it's just really bizarre. So I kind of pulled back from doing that for a while because it was just getting a little crazy.
I can see why. That's a little freaky. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yep. I'm a mom and I have a baby to worry about. So I try to stay as safe as possible.
So what are maybe your top three, if you can, what your top three pair of bucket list places you'd like to go visit?
Ooh, okay. I feel like I always change this up every single time I'm asked it, but I feel like my interests change a lot. So, all right. Top three is going to be tough, but I feel like my first right now would have to be Roanoke Island, because I've just always been so obsessed with the history of that and what happened to the Lost Colony. I am totally obsessed with that. Every special that there is out there, I've done that. Watched it, seen it, totally obsessed. So I need to do that at some point. I think I just actually told Tana and Lyle the other day, like, get on that for the next event location, because I saw something online. I would love to do that. My next would be, I think, Oak Island, because I'm totally obsessed with that as well. My third. What would I pick? I just had another one in my head and I totally lost it, but I feel like, I think it's a toss up. If I had to, I would throw Alcatraz in there.
Nice.
But I think if I had to go overseas, it would have to be the pyramids or the catacombs. But I love anything like directly connected to history. So I would love to do something like the house where Anne Frank was hidden, or something to do or connected to Hitler. Anything where I can peel back an extra layer that nobody else can to find out the hidden stories of history, because that's the part that I love. I love being on an investigation and coming up with, you know, a spirit that's there that's telling a story or information that was lost. And, you know, once you dig into older records, you start asking around to, the older generation in the area, and you find out that the story is true. It's just been lost to history, and where to find that information is just so exciting for me. So I love anything directly connected to history, but I think that would probably be my going list right now. I'm sure there's more that I'm forgetting, but that alone excites me. So I'm hoping I can eventually make that happen.
Yeah, that's one of the main reasons I got into the paranormal myself, is to learn the stories behind the people, or the spirits, I guess, who are haunting the locations. History is learning the history, it's very important while investigating the paranormal, because it helps you connect with the spirits there.
Oh, absolutely. I love it. Even this past weekend, the place that we were at, the owners were restoring this old house, and it used to be a boarding house. It was an old inn, and they're bringing the inn back to life. And when we were doing our investigation, they were really focused on the old owners of the house, the people that built the home, people that frequented the home. And Porter and I kind of decided, like, let's try something different, and let's try to kick it up a notch and go with the history of the area and maybe the history of the land. And we started to play different songs from the Civil War. We tried Union songs, we tried Confederate, we tried Southern music, and, you know, different things like that. And while playing something related to the Confederate side of the Civil War, we caught an EVP of a musket shot clear as day. And that was the first piece of evidence that we got. So we kept rolling with it. And that was amazing to me, just to be able to hear something like that and being able to verify it, because Porter, anybody that's seen episode one of Haunted Towns knows that Porter got to shoot an actual musket. So he knew. So I called him over to verify that that's exactly what it was. So that was awesome. And then we decided to start playing Native American powwow music and from different tribes. And when we were playing that music, Porter had a personal experience with what I saw as a Native American walk up the stairs and right next to him. But as he stood there, and there's been times where I've said, okay, this is happening, that's happening, and he just stands still. He's fine. There's nothing that scares him. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that even, you know, moves him, shakes him, nothing. And as I saw this Native American spirit walk up to him, he shook and shivered. And at that moment, every single meter around his feet that had not gone off all night started going off simultaneously. So I figured, okay, let's keep going on this trail and see what happens. And I decided to change the music. And at that moment, he had moved to the top of the stairs. He was looking at the bottom of the stairs. And he saw this gigantic black mass walking up the stairs at him that started to take form as it was getting closer. And what he describes as a Native medicine man. Those that were around him, and some of those people have never been to an investigation before at all, saw the exact same thing and described the exact same details that he did. I was standing on the opposite side of him at the landing, above him. I could see him. I could see the details of what was happening. This spirit turned and walked through the wall, and I could see the other side of the wall at that time too. But as it walked through the wall, everyone standing there, which included Lyle and Tana and the owners of the inn, started screaming because there's a giant black mass standing in front of them and they couldn't understand what it was. And it's very overwhelming. So I am a huge, huge advocate of, you know, doing the history check and just playing with the history of where you're at and just being able to uncover, you know, whatever layers have been forgotten. Because they said when we left, you know, we have spirits that we weren't even aware of, but now we know. And it's really cool to be able to discover those things that are lost through the years.
Well, I think we have someone who wants to ask a question right quick, so I'm going to go ahead and put her on.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey, Stephanie.
Welcome to the show.
Hey, Ryan. Hey, Stephanie, it's Tana. I just wanted to say hi. And I don't really have a question for you. I just wanted to say that I'm just amazed with all the knowledge that you have. We're really enjoying listening to you, and I thought I'd let you know that, yes, while we are on vacation, we will work on Roanoke Island, girl, believe me.
Oh, my goodness, I'm so excited.
It's right down there. It's not that far from where we're staying, so we will check into that and see what we can do.
That might be the best news I've gotten all day, so that is perfect.
Well, good.
I might just come stalk you on vacation so I have an excuse to head that way and check it out, because I have such a big obsession, it's not even funny.
Well, we have plenty of room, trust me. So you let me know beforehand, and I will let you know where we are. So
perfect.
But anyway, just letting you know, I mean, the knowledge that you have, I can't wait to actually talk to you more and learn from you. So just wanted to let you know that.
Well, thank you so much. You're so sweet, and I can't wait to see you in a few weeks. I'm so excited to get down there and hang out with you guys again.
Good, good. We're excited, too. Well, I will let you go and finish the show. We'll talk soon.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
Bye.
Bye, Tom.
Thanks, Ryan. Hey.
Bye.
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 Well, that was nice. I love Tana.
She's awesome.
She's awesome.
They are the sweetest people. I was so excited when I got to meet them.
Yeah, we love working with the Twisted Paranormal, the Twisted Realm. They're a good group of people. And, you know, getting on the Roanoke Island would be pretty flipping sweet.
And maybe I'll be out the hospital.
God, I hope so.
Like,
Jesus.
Yes.
I mean, good.
You will.
Good golly.
Just need, yeah.
We'll just strap the baby on. We'll be good to go.
Perfect. I love it. I mean, baby might be a good trigger object too for Roanoke. So
hey,
I vote bring the baby along.
I mean, what are you looking at? Trust me, he's going to be the most paranormal kid in like the history of paranormal, I think.
Right.
Well, like, he's going to be raised in this stuff. In the safe, you know.
I love it.
Don't put it in many dangerous locations or whatever, but.
Now, you said you have a 3-year-old?
I do.
Now, is it a boy?
Girl.
Or a girl? Girl. Does she get to travel with you some? And is she, you know, is she excited about this kind of stuff?
So, she is right now probably the most wild beast on the planet. I mean, she is so full of life. She is so sassy, and she has so much energy that I decide to leave her home when I travel, because she is a job in itself. And I am I'm at the point where I don't want to just hire somebody to come with me and be away from her. I would rather just be at home and be comfortable in her own environment while I'm gone for a few days at a time. And I miss her like absolutely crazy when I'm away, but at this point in time, like, just let her be a kid is kind of how I'm looking at it. And until she has some type of, you know, etiquette when it comes to being out in the public, especially where, you know, you don't want to run away 1,000 feet in front of me and give me an absolute heart attack. Then I will definitely leave your home in the safety of my home. because it's terrifying. But where I'm doing a lot of gallery readings and things like that, I don't want to be worried while I'm, you know, stuck in a room for 2 hours. You know, what's she doing? Is she okay? Because she's still, you know, at this age, really clingy and wants to be with me. I was at a friend's house the other day at a birthday party, and I got up to grab her a piece of pizza, and she panicked when I left the room. So, we're still in that clingy stage, so I wouldn't do that to her at all. But she actually, she's very gifted. She's shown it since day one. And the more that she is able to talk and experience different things, it just comes out. And it's fascinating to me because I did it to my mom, and I've always heard stories of the things that I've said and done. But having it done to me is just, it's fascinating and creepy and awesome all at the same time. So I'm really excited to see what comes out of that. And, you know, being in the driver's seat now and having the ability to kind of nurture this tiny little gift that she has, it's almost like, oh, my God, what do I do? You know, I do this every single day, but what do I teach her to do? So I'm kind of relying on my own intuition to be able to help her and teach her. So it's crazy but cool all at the same time.
Yeah.
So we're getting close to the end of the interview here. I just want to thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us. I've got one more question to ask, easy question. If you could sum up your whole paranormal experience in one word, what would it be?
Oh, my goodness. That's not an easy question at all.
He likes to say that.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
My paranormal experience, I would have to say something. Oh, gosh, I'm going to have to be – I can't make up my own words either.
You can make up your own word. I don't
you
care.
Can totally
you can make up – it don't matter to me.
Shoot.
I make up words all the time.
I would have
to say – words I make up.
Well, if I knew that there was no rules with this podcast, I would have to say, I would have to say soulful, just because the amount of happiness and joy and experience that this entire journey has brought me and continues to bring me has completely filled my soul and completely changed me as a person. And the work that I continue to do and I get to do and the experiences that I get to have and the people that I get to meet and the people that have been brought into my life because of this interest are incredible. And, you know, without getting totally sappy, I get to wake up every single day and help people through their grief. And yeah, I was just actually saying this to Porter before I jumped on the phone with you guys is, it's a lot of pressure at times doing what I do, and it's really scary.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, if I help somebody and I give them peace of mind or hope or faith that their loved ones are okay and that they're going to be okay, then my job is done. And I don't look at it as something that, you know, serves me, but I'm serving others. And being able to help people and to give them hope and happiness is what I want to do. And you know, if I spend the rest of my life serving other people, and that's what fills me up. It really does. And it makes my life completely worth it. So I've experienced so much over the past 10 years in the paranormal field and 15 years doing readings. So it's pretty amazing. And I just hope that it continues on the same path and I keep being able to do what I do. So I hope that was a good word.
Hey, that was an
amazing
that was word.
Awesome.
That was incredible, and we are so excited to I'm so excited to meet you. Angie, I know she wishes she could
I'm so
be there. Again, folks, Stephanie Burke and Scott Porter will be at Head Rikus Park on April 27th and 28th. That's Friday and Saturday night. $75 a person. And you get 2-hour Q&A. Like I said, whatever question we don't ask tonight, you can ask them on Friday or Saturday night. And you get to investigate with them from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. And I'll be there too. So
I'll be there in spirit.
Yes, Angie will be there in spirit. Maybe she'll astral protect herself to the event.
Yeah,
and she'll show up.
Astral waddle, maybe.
There we go.
Yeah.
But,
it takes a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, amen.
Thank you guys so much for having me on. I truly appreciate it. And I mean, Ryan, I can't wait to meet you. And Angie, keep cooking that beautiful baby. Be totally safe and well. And I'll send you some Reiki from over here. And, you know, rest up. And it'll be the best experience of your entire life. So it's exciting. It's just really sucky to sit there and wait. But
yeah,
we will we'll send you lots of love from Henricus. And hopefully we get to meet you soon once you have your beautiful baby, and then you can tell him that I've already planned his first investigation. So he already has major plans.
Well, there you go.
So,
yay.
That's awesome.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Well, so I'll see you in a few weeks, okay?
Yes, thank you. Rest up. Be well.
Take care.
Bye, Stephanie.
All right, you too.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was a lot of fun.
That was so much fun. She's a great person.
We've got, we've got the event at the end of the month, Henricus Park, but that's not all, folks. You know, like, you know, you're thinking, you know, God, I want to investigate the paranormal so bad, but Henricus Park is, damn, at the end of the month. What am I supposed to do to satisfy my craving for the paranormal? And you know what I would do, Angie?
What would you do?
I would book ticket. I would book passes, ticket, whatever. I would do something.
You would just do it.
I would just do it. I would go online. I go to the Cabin on 360's Facebook page. Yeah? That's what I would do. And then I would book passes to go on the Cabin on 360's Facebook. I don't know what I'm talking about.
You'd book them to go on their Facebook. Now we're charging people to visit our Facebook page.
Dude, I am so out of it right now.
So I think what you would do is buy tickets to
go
to the next investigation.
Yes.
Which is for one of the most amazing causes that there is.
Yeah, every Memorial Day and Veterans Day, we place flags by the grave sites of veterans who fought for our freedoms at Evergreen Cemetery. But as you know, as everything else, it costs money. As in everything else, it costs money to buy the flags. So we have an event at the Cabin on 360, one of the most haunted locations in Virginia. I wanted to mention that to her, but I was like, well, maybe I shouldn't talk about the cabin. So we're going to be, you know, pimping out Henricus here. We better talk about Henricus most of the night, but Stephanie, if you listen to this podcast, come to the Cabin on 360. It is HAF. Haunted as
Fuddruckers.
Fudge Nuggets. So, sorry about my little stroke I had earlier when I couldn't talk about, figure out what I was saying about booking passes to go
That's
see it.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell I was talking about. Anywho, so, I think, you got anybody who's interested in coming out and helping us out at the Cabin on 360, investigating with us? It'll be a lot of fun.
And then anyone who wants to come out and help place the flag.
Yeah, we'll be out there Saturday, May 26th. Hopefully, we'll have a baby by then. He will not be there, but
no.
At least I won't have to be here. We're going to be there at 9 a.m. at Evergreen Cemetery, placing flags. We'll have water and snacks available. So, So April 14th, the event investigation starts at 6 p.m. It's till midnight. It's $20 a person. And you get to investigate three locations, not just two now. Usually, before, it was the cabin in the woods, but now we have the brick house opened up, too. So, three locations, $20, 6 hours worth of investigating, hamburgers and hot dogs will be served at the event. I mean, it is for a good cause, and it's really cheap, honestly. Probably one of the cheapest investigations you ever go on. Cabin on 360 is definitely one of the haunted locations. I'd say most haunted locations in Virginia. I can go there because I know all the hundreds of EVPs I have on my computer that tells me that it's one of the most haunted locations in Virginia. It's because no one knows about it yet.
It's the most undiscovered haunted location in Mechanicsville.
I would go Virginia, honestly.
In Virginia. That's a mighty big word.
It is, but we got a whole battlefield and two houses to investigate.
True.
Yeah, 7.2 acres of haunted. And they're not all located in one location, too. So, yeah. I would say one of the haunted locations in Virginia. But I know we're running over, and I figured Angie probably needs some insulin now. Or a blood sugar checked or something. God. All right, well, I'm rambling, so anything else you want to add?
Nope, just thank everybody for listening. It was a great show.
Thank you so much for listening, and I hope I heard that her show cut off halfway at the beginning of it, so hopefully it'll show up on the podcast.
Yeah, we hope.
Because we were on air the whole time. I mean, it said so right here, looking at the screen, on air. So apparently we had some people call in or text in saying that they couldn't hear us. So hopefully you guys are hearing us now. And let me reiterate, April 14th, Cabin on 360, and April 21st, I'll give a free plug, Phantom Paranormals having an investigation at Hanover Tavern. That's another haunted location. You can have 3 weeks of ghost hunting at the end of April, the 14th, 21st, and 27th, 28th. I mean, come on now, guys. I mean, that would be
totally awesome.
So we will satisfy your ghost hunting needs here in Central Virginia at the end of the month. So, all right, well, I think it's time to sign off. Angie looks tired. I feel tired. I've got to I'm taking her daughter to King's Dominion tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun. I bought a new pair of shoes today. And I'm like, well, the other shoes I bought at Payless because we were doing the Toys for Tots drive at the cabin last December, and it decided to snow. Of course, my other pair of shoes had a hole in them. You can't walk around in the snow in December with a hole in your shoe. It's not fun. So I'm like,
no.
I'm going to go buy a pair of shoes, $35 pair of shoes that pay less. I'm like, I have to get something here. Otherwise, I'm going to be miserable because I know we're going to go outside. Even if we didn't go outside, I had to walk through the snow to get to the house, and I'd be sitting with wet, cold socks. So I went and bought a new pair of shoes for $35 and a new, like, two freaking packs of socks or whatever. So I was like, what? And I was like, well, this isn't going to last very long. And it hasn't. It's now April, and my shoes are wearing out.
But they were also $35.
Yeah, they're $35
for
the shoes.
They lasted longer than the
Skechers.
$90 Skechers.
Oh, my God. The Skechers I bought back in October cost. It lasted about 2 months. And now I'm not even going to talk to you about the
4 weeks of trying to find shoes
four months.
Pairs that we tried on and returned. We've talked about that before.
I mean, we started looking for shoes in March, I think, and we're still looking for shoes in April. No, not April. That's not bad at all. August. To give you an update, Angie's looking for something on her bed. Can't figure out what we're looking for.
Well, I felt something stick in me.
Like a pen?
Yeah, I didn't know what it was. It hurt.
That's weird. Maybe like a spring sticking out or something. So anyways, the shoes didn't stop working. So I went to go buy a new pair of shoes. Of course, my feet are killing me now because they're in new shoes. And I got to take Kimmy to King's Dominion, and I can barely walk. on my new shoes. So it's gonna be a, it's gonna be a interesting time tomorrow. I might just put my old shoes back on to walk around KD.
Why not?
Because I need to wear these shoes, these new shoes in. But damn. All right. Well, we're gonna let you go.
Bye guys.
Like I said, we've been rambling on, and I don't think everyone, I want to thank Stephanie Burke for calling in. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you next week where we've got Holly Stevens and Paul Andrew Kimball calling all the way in from Halifax, Nova Scotia. Interesting story. I have a Roku box at home. And I was flipping through, there's this app called the Roku Channel. And I was flipping through this show they have on the Roku Channel, and there was a show called Ghost Cases on. And I was watching it, I'm like, this is pretty cool. So I reached out, I found out who was on the show. I reached out to them, and, well, lo and behold, they're coming on the show next week. So we're excited to have them on the show, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So, thanks, Stephanie, for coming on the show and talking with us. And hope everyone has a great night. We'll talk to you next week. Same freaking awesome time, same freaking awesome channel. Here comes Angie. Say goodbye.
Bye.
Here we are. All right. Talk to you next week. Live from Angie's hotel room.
Might as well be.
Might as well be our hotel room. All right. Bye.